often thought of coming. I thought of going to Toronto to the Ratha Yatra, then flying over to Vancouver, and then to go into the mountains to meet the bears.
Yes. Well, we have many bears here. Doug is here. He's one of the mountain bears. And he can definitely take you up and close. Please come and visit us. We'll take you into the mountain communities.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll start in a second here. Two requests for whoever wants to have their camera on, please do so. It's your choice, whatever you're comfortable with. It's really nice for Sachinandan Swami Maharaj to be able to see our faces if you want. And we'll have our mics off moving forward. If you'd like to comment, if you'd like to question, anything you'd like to do, there's the chat board. We'll make the chat board very lively, and I'll take your questions and comments and present them to Maharaj as we go along. So today Maharaj will be gracing us with a talk on the benefits of chanting or kirtan, and I can tell you firsthand, this is the best person in the world that we have to speak about this subject.
Good. I thank you very much for your very kind introduction. Let me just, before starting, see with you the time frame in which we are trying to operate here. Is it, please tell me, how long should I speak? And then I think there should be opportunity for questions so that we can get a little bit interactive. So in what time will we do what?
About 45 minutes that you can talk, and then about 20 minutes questions after that, if that's all right.
Good, good, good. Thank you very much. Good. Now, I would like to introduce the subject, the benefit of chanting the holy names. I was very fortunate. A few days ago, we had a program in Berlin. It was a little under the radar, if you so want, because just like everywhere else, there are now many restrictions on how many people can gather on a space, and especially singing. At least in Europe, has many restrictions because it is felt that with the outgoing breath, not only nectar vibrations come out, but other things as well. But we thought, let us. This is one more reason to have a good kirtan, and we had one devotee with us, Madhava, and Gokrishna, and others, and went into the town of Berlin to a very amazing venue. It was an ancient pump on different levels. There was space. It was very well visited. And we had an evening of chanting. And at the end, when we stopped, we did not get up or immediately talk, but we said, now let everyone just sit and just go inside of themselves and see what has changed since starting the chanting session and now coming to the end of it. So they were sitting for not long, a minute or two, and just there was silence in the room, except the sragini sound, which you can hear now. And everyone went a little bit inside and thinking, yes, has anything changed? And the overwhelming response which we got, I talked with many of them. They came past the little something like a stage. And they told me that really we feel above the clouds. That's an expression which I have heard from Srila Prabhupada, that my own spiritual master, that when you are under the clouds, you get the rain, you get the shade, you feel the gloominess of a rain-filled day or cloudy day. But when you are above the clouds, then you are close to the sun. You feel the light, you feel a type of vastness, your view is unobstructed. So to be above the clouds is really something which is the effect of chanting. You feel lifted to another level of consciousness. You feel a sense of deep spirituality. And when you think of your problem, you have only one word for it. Anyways, not so important any longer, because you have moved above the cloud, you have elevated your consciousness. Now you are no longer affected by what happens when you are under the clouds of material consciousness. There are seven traditional benefits which happen in chanting. The first one really expresses what these people in Berlin felt. It says, the mirror of the heart is purified. Our heart or mind is very much like a mirror, with only one difference. In a mirror, so many impressions come during the day, but they also disappear. When you go to a mirror, for instance, in the university, especially those in the bathrooms, they have seen many, many people passing by. Some of them, cleaning their pimples. Others just making sure their face is all right. We don't even wish to enter in our imagination the bathroom mirrors. For the ladies, there's a lot of adjustment with colors in the face going on. These mirrors have seen in the university a couple of thousand people going by. But all the impressions, all the reflections are gone now. The mirror is again what it is. The mirror of the mind is different. It collects impressions. It keeps impressions. What someone said to me last week is sometimes still very much on my mind. All the hopes, all the disappointments, all the criticism which my inner voice constantly tells, utters, you are not good enough, you will never make it. All these things accumulate on the mirror of the mind like dust that sticks. Someone who chants and goes into a chanting session will experience that all these impressions in the mind are gone. That we could all see with the people in Berlin. They had been in anxiety. What will happen if the second wave of COVID-19 is even more high than the first wave was, and so on. But at the end of a kirtan evening, they were not bothered so much any longer. Kirtan, at least on, kirtan takes care of your consciousness so that you are able to react in a different way to the challenges which life has to you. And if you do kirtan, you can even, in the worst of circumstances, be in a very good space. I remember a friend of mine had been in Beirut, that's in Lebanon, when the war there started. And he was put into prison on the suspicion of being a British spy. While he was in his little cell, 1 meter by 1 meter, he was inspected through the door, which was like a grill. He was always looked upon. The light never closed in his prison. And all he could hear was the gun explosions, or guns where the executions were done in the court of the prison. He never knew if he would be taken out of the prison for the execution. But in this situation, just imagine, in this situation, he chanted in his consciousness. He did not chant out loud, but he sang in his mind and he danced in his mind to kirtan. And I forgot how long, something like 3 weeks he was in the prison. And then one day his captors came. They didn't speak English. They opened the door, which was this grill. They took him out and he thought, this is now my walk to the execution in the court of the prison. But they led him past, brought him to a car, and the next thing he noticed, he was on the airport and he was put into a plane bound to London. Chanting really protects our consciousness. It frees it from unfavorable impressions which we have taken on throughout the day, but more so, it installs something very, very beautiful. Here, I want to show you something. Let me see if you can see it. It's a lily. Your consciousness is like a lily. Sometimes it's closed. That's when you are having material consciousness, but it can also open, like this here. When the sound of kirtan comes and opens your consciousness. This is a traditional example which is given that in what is it called? Vidya Vahadu Jivanam in Sanskrit. No, wrong. Shreya Kairava Chandika Vitaranam. Your consciousness, which is exposed to the chanting, opens up. You become fragrant in your consciousness. Good smell is coming. Good vibrations are coming from you if you are there in the chanting. The example is when a lily is touched by the rays of the moon. Let us say this one. It will open and become like this. So your consciousness can open. What will it display? It will display the symptoms of the pure consciousness. When the consciousness is open, you will feel some inner knowing. You will feel some limitless joy. Dance without a reason, you know, in the sense of you don't need to have passed your exam, or you don't need to have the word yes from your coveted boyfriend dance and be joyful without a reason. That happens when kirtan comes and opens your consciousness, which is sometimes so dense and sometimes so compact, like a bud closed. No, when the kirtan comes, it does open the consciousness, like the lily and the original qualities in a knowing and happiness come out. Even in very adverse circumstances, like my friend who had this experience in the prison of Beirut. I mean, I don't wish anyone to even come close to such a prison. I have also seen it is, but as a tourist, I have seen. Yes, I would like to just stick with these two benefits because they are really awesome. They are really wonderful. It takes the bad impressions away. It cleanses the mirror of your mind, and it opens your consciousness so that its natural spiritual qualities come out. However, there's something you need to learn when you do kirtan. It's something which is really important. You need to learn how you can chant with full absorption. As long as the mind is engaged with the unnecessary chatter, the mental noise, kirtan cannot unfold its full power. Many people don't know this, the art of absorption. They just sing the holy names while even multitasking. I have been in kirtan where people looked at their mobile telephones and wrote quick WhatsApp messages. Or I have seen people coming and bringing their whole mental burden into the kirtan and not letting this rucksack, this backpack of mental burdens outside of the kirtan. And for them, it took longer time to experience the benefit of chanting. I always give during my retreats an analogy which I would like to repeat here. Imagine you stand on a platform and the train comes by. It stops for this 1 minute and 30 seconds, and it's now time for you to get through the opening sliding doors, I think they're called, and enter the train. But somehow, you're not doing it. You're talking with your people on the platform, and after some time, the train drives away without you being inside. This is what many times people who come to kirtan experience. They have come to the event, but they just don't enter with their mind into the spiritual sound vibration of the holy name. And then the train leaves without them. The train leaves them standing on the platform. Of frustration. So the way to enter the mantra is absorbing your consciousness in it. And the easiest way really to absorb yourself is in three successive steps. First step, be there with your physical body. Just sit there, listen to the sound of the holy names, pronounce it properly, and let your mind connect with the mantra. Let it be absolutely settled in the mantra. Your life is very simple. Now you can, you just sing and you hear. And after some time, the train takes you away. The mantra takes you away. Second step, bring your mind there. Whenever you chant, be in the present. The mind often wants to be in the past. Oh, what happened there? What did he say? Oh, how did he like my hair? And so on and so forth. All the mind goes, I'm just saying things, they are not related to any living people. All the mind goes into the future. Oh, this plan, I would like to do that in the future. Be present when you are kirtan. When it's Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandalal, it is Krishna, it's Govinda, it's again Govinda, and then it's Nandalal. Be with each simple, with each sound vibration, and you will see it takes you. Then last thing is, and when you see your mind goes as it will, if you have a normal mind, the mind will wander. It is like air floating. Then whenever you notice it, bring it back, gently bring it back. Bring it back to the sound of the mantra. So body, the body is there, it sits straight. The body is, how do you say? It pronounces and listens. The mind focuses and is present in the present. And the heart, there should be some expression. Some expression is very important. We know this. In our consciousness always travels through our voice. When I'm angry, my voice is ah. When I'm fearful, oh, my voice is very soft. When I'm enthusiastic, like the German Swami, my voice tends to be very loud and forthcoming. No? The consciousness which you have will travel from your heart into your voice, and it will influence the atmosphere around you. It will influence your consciousness again. It will reinforce whatever was there. Or it will influence the atmosphere. A samurai warrior knows when he goes into the righteous fight, he will make a sound. He will put all his energy, his conscious energy, into the sound. And when the opponent hears it, he usually leaves the battlefield. Already. Consciousness carries so much. Consciousness is so very important. And therefore we like our kirtan leader, the one who starts with the kirtan, to be in good consciousness. We do not want to hear someone who is singing for show. We do not want to hear someone who sings for self-importance. We want to hear from someone who is a genuine spiritualist, who is already seeing through the trickery of the ego and leaves the ego behind. When we hear such kirtan, such pure consciousness, let us open our consciousness, let us open our heart. See, I have a cloth here. I don't know how you can see. It's my most beautiful dhoti. It used to be white, and that, because it was white, when I put it into the saffron colored dye, it's called dye in English, then it could absorb very nicely the color. If this would have been a brown cloth, it would not have been able to absorb the saffron color so nicely. It would have, this would have looked a little grayish, so to say, not so light of, and so on. So when we go into kirtan, it's very important that we see that our consciousness is open, that it is like the white cloth, that there are not so many impressions on it, because then the sound vibration can be absorbed. When we play instruments in the kirtan, like for instance karatals, our consciousness in which we play it will very much influence the sound. Kirtan is a celebration of spiritual consciousness, and that always means that the ego is not present. When you play these instruments in a supportive way, the kirtan, these instruments will carry your pure consciousness into the atmosphere. When you dance in the kirtan, when you get up in the kirtan, in Canada we also dance Krishna Prana. We do. I know Leela Mayi is an amazing dancer. But when we dance, we know. We can dance for our ego to show off that we are as good a dancer as Michael Jackson was. Or we can dance in a pure consciousness to celebrate, to glorify everything in the kirtan. Starting with the kirtan leader, starting with you as the follower, the one who plays the instruments, who claps the hand, who gets up and lets go and dances. If that is all in a pure consciousness, free from ego, the kirtan becomes a celebration. It becomes a place where you enter the fire. There's an ancient, in the Sanskrit works, it's an ancient verse. It says, if you want to enter the fire, you have to become the fire. It's, of course, a mystical language. Let me unpack it for you. No one wants to enter the fire. But what it wants to express, this sentence, is if you want to enter the pure spiritual atmosphere of the spiritual reality, where you can meet yourself and you can meet God, then you have to also become pure, spiritual, not clouded with the ego. This is a very important thing. You know, there is the avatar of kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I don't know if you have already introduced your people at the kirtan courses on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic kirtan. And it was really amazing. When he would sing his kirtan, animals would join him. I have seen a little of this in my own life in Vrindavan. I like to just go into the wilderness, into the forest, and I like to chant and sing. And sometimes I have experienced that these very shy blue antelopes, the Nila Gaus, who people even don't see them. They came and they grazed around me, cared for their young ones. I've even seen cobras coming, but I don't know if they were like the Nila Gaus. I was always respectfully going up and leaving the place where the cobras came. You can never trust them entirely. But what I wish to say is, this pure spiritual sound vibration can unify all of us. We can forget our ego-based differences and join in the dance of the spirit, totally free from the limitations. If we are willing to absorb our consciousness and let it free our consciousness from the many, many limitations which we have when we act and think and dance and sing from the platform of the ego. Now, this platform we leave and we come to the very pure consciousness-filled platform. And at that time, all of us can experience the blossoming of our consciousness. You must admit, by the way, this is a beautiful flower. I don't know how you see it in Canada, but wow, this is and it smells like a whole rose garden or something like this. Yes, the opening of consciousness can take place. Be willing to absorb yourself. Enter the mantra. That means exit the worldly thoughts and worldly concerns, and you will see it takes you to a level of pure consciousness, to the level which we could call above the clouds. My dear listeners, participants, and so on, this is what I just wanted to say. In the first go, I would very much like if I think our Anil, is it, do I remember correctly? Anil Ji from Kirtan, Vancouver. Yes. If you now tell us how we proceed, I think it's good if you can, if you asked your questions, because, you know, when you give a lecture on Kirtan, it may not always touch just what you are absolutely interested in at the present moment. So it's good if you bring out questions, aspects, doubts even, difficulties you experience in your service and so on. And therefore I thought, let me give ample time for this.
So at times like this, I assume we're talking about COVID, what do we do if we can't do kirtan, particularly because of COVID rules and restrictions, if this was the only source of nourishment and inspiration? And this question can also apply in the situation of COVID or in the situation where your friend was in the prison or you know, many people's life situation don't allow them to be able to attend kirtan in a group situation, which we all love so much. So in those cases, what can we do to have our nourishment and inspiration and bhakti?
I thank you very much for this very good question. Kirtan is most powerful when it's done with many, sankirtan, because when you are with many, the light of each other's heart gets reflected in many hearts and it becomes very bright, the atmosphere. But if that is not possible for some reason, like COVID or many other reasons which are restrictive, then you can do kirtan all by yourself. I have been in many times in situations where I do kirtan. I always have kartals with me, and this always is a big thing on airplanes, you know, not airplanes, airports, when they, when the bags are checked for metal devices and so on, they always find the kartals, and I have the opportunity to introduce the officers to the art of kirtan. This is not a weapon, it's a much, it's a musical instrument which is used in kirtan. So kirtan can always be done alone also. Yes. Or what you can do is you can put on how do you say this, recordings. I really, really recommend to all of you the Radha Desh Mellows. There are very first class recordings. I mean, we always have high professional recording engineers there. What do? They record really nice Radha Desh Mellows. So maybe Krishna Prana can type the link. You can just find it as we talk in the computer and then provide the link to all of you. And then you could, if you want, also sing and dance while these kirtans are going on. I do this. I think singing and dancing should be done by all of us in our rooms. You just put the furniture a little bit aside and then you start and you take it really serious and sing the holy name. You will, after even 10 minutes, feel the whole atmosphere in your house change. Yes, it's a little unconventional, but those who subscribe to normality today will find out tomorrow that they subscribe to wrong values. Singing and dancing is such a nice activity, and it can be done at home. Lila Mayi, why not? Spin around in circles to nice recordings, and don't forget to sing. It's really very, very good. What you can, of course, do, another thing is to enter into your, with your mind and with your meditation, and do some meditation about kirtan and sing with others in kirtan. But those who are maybe not so practiced to do this regularly will find it difficult. So listening to kirtan recordings might be easier. That's my answer, Anil. Will do.
Krishna Prana has already posted a link, and we'll be posting a link on the event page as well for anybody who would like to access later on. We have a couple more questions here. One is from Ajani. I'll just read it out. It's a great question. If I'm not mistaken, one of the primary purposes of Hatha Yoga is to prepare the body for meditation and consequently higher levels of yoga, as the body can be quite distracting during meditation. In the past, due to my overwork and burnout, I have been distracted by my body while practicing kirtan. So is there a prescription for physical discomfort during meditation or kirtan through bhakti yoga?
Yes. You know, both the mind and the body can be accessed and soothed through the breath, breathing. The discomfort which you can feel during burnout, both the physical and mental discomfort, as well as many physical problems have their origin in the mind. Now, yogis have seen throughout the ages that it is sometimes difficult to control the mind because it appears to be a little elusive. You can't grab it like you can grab an object and then keep it under your control. No, the mind is as elusive as the wind, who cannot be grabbed. It goes its own way. However, the yogis have found out since time immemorial that there is a handle on the mind, and that's the breath. We all know when we are highly, highly upset, a close friend will often tell us, breathe, take a deep breath in and out. The yogis have taken this principle and putting the breathing in intact. Pranayama, it's called. And by the way, I can only recommend those of you who want to have mental and physical well-being and feel they don't yet have attained it to check out pranayama. It's really working on both the mental and the physical platform. Now, the yoga scriptures tell us, especially those yoga scriptures who are for bhakti, that the same effect of calming the turbulent mind can be had by focusing on a mantra. And because the mantra liberates the mind from unwanted occupation due to its capturing the mind if you absorb it. See, therefore it's so important. I sometimes just can shake my head about those people who come to kirtans and who just do so many things and then they don't have the experience at the end. And they feel sad that they have missed out on the experience. Yeah, you have to enter the train. You have to use your body, mind, and heart to absorb yourself. And then that mind will become peaceful in the same way. There's a wonderful verse in the Chandogya Upanishad. It says, a falcon in training, falcon is a bird, in training is tied with a rope to its perch. In the beginning it will fly restlessly, flutter here and there, but at the very end it settles on the perch. So in the same way, the yogi ties his mind to the mantra. And at the beginning the mind will flutter here and there. No, I will fly here and there and everywhere. But then, because it's tied with the power of absorption to the mantra, it will settle there and become peaceful. Also, when you do the mantra, you know, you automatically regulate your breath. When you listen as the kirtan leader sings, and then comes your turn, and you breathe out, and on an exhale, you are pronouncing the divine mantra. Then again, you listen, and inhale, maybe exhale. Also inhale, and again your term comes. And this regulates the breath and with it the mind. This is something which Western psychologists are now slowly learning. An easier way than talking or giving various exercises, occupying the patient with something different, an easier way to access the mind and calm it is breathing, pranayama. It's something you really, it's really scientific. I cannot now give you a whole lecture on this, but there's a vast physiological and psychological knowledge in that. Good. Next question, Anil.
Consciousness is above the clouds. It may be misunderstood at times by the ones suffering with their attachments under the clouds. They may even get upset or accuse you of lack of understanding or empathy. How can we reach out with compassion to the ones under the clouds?
How wonderful! You have such wonderful questions. This is amazing. First of all, I would like to say this compassion for others is absolutely required if you wish to progress in your spiritual life. Without compassion to those who even may misunderstand you, you are still a prisoner of the ego. And if you want to now really go into compassion, there is one simple thing you must learn. In our Western language, we call it empathy. It's like trying to see things from the other's perspectives. It's just like in the Native Americans, they say, if you want to understand me, walk one day in my moccasins. You know, you will meet the same situations, the same people, and so on, and then you can see. I really find this a very, very nice example to just practice compassion. You just move away from your perspective and you enter the perspective of someone else. You see through their filters, and you try to, capture the same images, understanding, perceptions as the others, the other has. And then usually it's not so difficult. What I do every Tuesday, I pray, I have a mantra prayer. It says, may there be happiness for all. May everyone be able to see all good. You know, not a negative vision, but a positive life enforcing vision. May there be no disease for everyone, for anyone. May all beings be happy. That has helped me a lot to just say it every Tuesday. Tuesday is a day when I set away, which I've set apart to just wish well for others. I have a long list, you know, of people who ask me, can you please do something for me which uplifts me. Then we have a little ceremony. And I have found that this has shaped me. This forcing myself to see, to pray for others, not forcing, but doing it regular, and then trying to understand others is really important. Really important. A yogi who comes home from his yoga class and then kicks his dog who is before his door. The door of his house has missed the whole point of yoga, of any yoga. We must be compassionate. Very important. Yeah, so yes, next question please. So how to do this? Well, by this trying to see things through the eyes of another. That gives you a whole new worldview. It's really an interesting exercise. And try to see yourself through the eyes of another. This will tell you a lot of areas where you can improve also.
Thank you. I really appreciated that last one, trying to see ourselves through the eyes of others, the eye-opening experience. We have a question from Michelle. Is there a best time to chant other than at dawn? Any particular chants at different times?
Yeah, the good time other than dawn is still in the morning time, when your consciousness is relatively free, when the mirror of your mind has not taken in so many impressions. Second best time is also in the evening, you know, when you come home from a day of activity and everything is peaceful. You have lived your day, maybe to just switch the atmosphere, you might like to take a quick shower. Water does this really fast when you are under the shower. It resets your mental neurowiring and so on. So the evening is also good. Main thing is don't be under duress and stress. Don't stress yourself out when you chant, although sometimes those of us who have decided to have a certain regulation where they would like to chant a certain amount of time, or they feel, oh, I have not yet done it, I should really do it. Yes, that is also all right, but don't allow stress to invade and erode your chanting practice. So both morning, even if you can't do it the early morning, before dawn, when most of us are very tired at that time, and then you can do it when you're ready, when you have taken your bath, when you have gotten up, and before you start the day, or the second best, when you have ended your day, and then, but you need to make sure that your day doesn't come in through your door, you know, when you go home and then you leave the door open, and the whole day comes with you with all its unresolved questions. It should always stay before the door. If possible.
Another question. For somebody who's walking a spiritual path or trying to develop a spiritual journey for themselves, other than kirtan, what other spiritual or practical things can you suggest for such a person to develop their taste?
I would say the three P's. Letter P, like philosophy. First of all, it's very nice if you can make yourself acquainted with these amazing jewels which come from the wisdom traditions, like reading in the Bhagavad Gita or reading any inspiring wisdom book. Then the second practice is people have good association with inspiring, uplifting people. So easy. It's called sadhu sangha in Sanskrit. In sangha, you are really, you know, something very, very amazing happens. What is there in the person with whom you associate comes into your heart. And the last is a spiritual practice. Now, I'm a kirtan man, you know. I sing or I do mantra meditation because why is this, in my opinion, such a powerful practice? See, the whole thing in spiritual practice is not just information, it's transformation. It should do something with you. And sound, especially sacred sound, really affects in a very fast way a transformation of the consciousness. Very fast. And very effective also. But other practices, I teach a practice called the Tree of Life, which is a wholesome practice where you take care of your spiritual roots. There are many spiritual practices. Meditation is a very good one also. Then you take care of your trunk, that means your physical body and your emotions. And finally, the Tree of Life encourages us to contribute to society, to people. One has always seen that those people who are, contributing, who are doing something good for others, they are very relieved people. They are very free and happy people. But those who stay just in their own little world without doing something for the welfare of others are not so relieved and free. Tree of Life. I think there's something on the... nowadays you can Google everything. Fine. My dear Anil, what a wonderful host you have been. I'm really... You have carried this session with so much grace and dignity, and you have connected everything and taken on a nice flow. I'm a little bit mindful of my manager. It's the clock. You see here, it's 8:01. I was informed this will take 1 hour, so I've scheduled other things afterwards. But I would really like to invite you to do something. I have recorded a course in 8 sessions called the Kirtan Experience. In this course, there is a lot of chanting also going on, but there is a lot of, let me say, these very helpful suggestions from the wisdom traditions, really nice. And I've recorded it for people. I had two audiences in mind. My main audience were all those spiritually open and interested people, which are such a wonderful and often anonymous community. Phew, the whole world is full with these spiritual people who would like to just see what is kirtan and so on. And I've also recorded it in a somewhat systematic way so that those who teach kirtan, like different kirtan, London kirtan, what is it called? Toronto kirtan, Vancouver, that those teachers have something to give to everyone. So our Krishna Prana has done this already for us. I see you have put in the link where they can find it, right? Yeah, for the Kirtan Experience course. Yes, yes, it's on YouTube. Yes, fine. I really, you know, I wouldn't say it. No gentleman talks about his own productions. That is not gentlemanly, but this really is helpful. I think because it comes from the experience of many, many retreats and so on. So maybe it is helpful and you will appreciate. Please check it out. Fine.
Those
No, 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 not at all, Anil. You are so such a gentleman. Everything which comes from you is, yes, a refined personality. Yes. Good. So, I think it's time now to say goodbye. Anil, you are our host.
Final request.
Yes?
Final request that when the COVID restrictions lift, all of us in this group would really, really want you to visit Canada, Toronto, Vancouver. We'll take you to Squamish and the mountains as well. Please, please keep us in mind in your travel plans.
You are very kind, Anil. And I've always thought of Canada, there's a problem. I'm very hungry, and you would have to feed me also. Good, good. I will also then bring. I have a wonderful assistant who is also a very good kirtan leader. I will show him so that you. Gaur Krishna, yes, famous Gaur Krishna. Thank you. Yes, so I wish you all the best, and please keep on going with these, doing these kirtan programs. I know online kirtan doesn't carry the same shakti somehow. We have tried it, and I also spoke with Madhava. What is his experience? And he says, it's just not the same, somehow the magic gets stuck in the computer, it seems. It doesn't make it through the computer and out to the other side. But really, what I inspired you earlier, listen to these kirtan recordings, and you might like to sing along with them when the sound is really good and you feel there are hundreds singing along. Then it can take you in. Okay, so thank you very, very much, everyone. I wish you the rains of, may the rains of kirtan come over you and let you grow and grow and grow in your spiritual life. All the best, and Hari Bol.